I'm recording this meeting. Just want to make the motion to resume the regular session.
A second.
Patrick?
Aye.
And Ray?
Aye.
Henry had to leave us for a different meeting. So he's not present at this meeting. In the special executive session, the board took discussed a matter with our legal counsel. I'd like to make a motion that the board directs the legal counsel to move forward as directed by the discussion in the special executive session. You have a second?
Second.
Ray?
Yes.
And Todd?
Aye.
Okay. We'll return back into our regular session at 2050. And we were mid-budget discussion. And I believe we were talking Cascade, the last I recall.
I think we finished that because Chief Durr had stated that he felt 90% confident that we could get the present Cascade system repaired by the local person that he has used in the past. So I think we can move on from that item.
Okay. And then I think you had a question. I have a question about items in the budget for equipment replacement. I can't remember precisely now.
Oh, yeah. No, there was an item in there that was pointed out for general equipment, not replacement, but just general equipment repair and not vehicle repair. That was what the point I was making.
Oh, okay. So the fire equipment other?
Yeah. Again. Uh-huh.
Okay. Does anybody else have any other questions board-wise on the proposal 3 of the budget, which I believe is the one we should move forward with?
Were we able to bank some money for truck replacement?
I think that's what not Chief here. Mentioned was rolling it over from whatever we have this year. Is that correct?
That was my opinion.
Yeah, some of that. And we have a capital reserve of 24,000 and change and a grant match of 25,000. I believe if we still take the light pot from this year's budget, we have another 18,700 that would roll over from the grant match from this year that we didn't manage to match to anything.
I guess
look at that. So go on.
My next question is do we have a line item? Or do we create one?
For vehicle replacement?
Yes.
Yeah, it should be.
So VRP is in there under firefighting, but it's funded at a zero level in the option 3.
I really like that idea.
Okay, vehicle replacement fund.
Yeah. We're not intending to fund it from the budget. We'll look at other ways of doing that, I think, is what I'm understanding.
So the unspent from this year would roll into that.
Ray, it would roll into capital reserve, which functionally can be used for VRP or other capital purchases.
Yeah, I'm afraid we need to really get serious about some figuring out replacement. We got a tanker that's down now.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ray. Our newest suppression piece, would that be the 17 or as far as engine goes, they would be both 1998, the Darley and the Pierce?
Well, the old E1 is the oldest.
Right, but our newest suppression pieces would be
the Darley. Well, yeah. The Vail truck is probably newer. O2.
Probably not by much.
What's the ladder truck?
Yeah, apparently it's 17, then O2 in terms of age.
Yeah.
And it'll be years on those. Okay. So about 0.84, then would you call that one?
Separate and aside from what we're working on here, I would, after we decide on an option here as far as budgeting, I'd like to quickly discuss where our funding is going in the future and recommend some sort of working group for vehicle replacement and developing a plan and how do we plan on funding that in the future, not just vehicles, but all of the equipment we're looking at here.
Yeah, we can have that conversation for sure.
And I don't want to take a bunch of everybody's time, but just some sort of working group that can make some sort of recommendation to the board, do some research, and anyhow, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay. Give me 1 second. You'll get to watch how badly I type. Okay, so if everybody's good, as I said, budget proposal 3 should move forward. We will make that available to the public from the fire station and on the administrator. And then on the 18th of this month, we have a special meeting scheduled for any public comment on the budget, if any members of the public have any input on that for us. And then the budget itself will be adopted in the December 2nd meeting, ready to be presented to county and state.
And Ian, if we end up having a change to the budget, we can always submit an amended budget, correct?
We can. It depends on, I think it's going to depend on what level of change that is.
Okay.
And when that occurs. Are you talking before we file this year? Or
during the course of the year. I remember that we had to do that last year, right?
Yes, we can if we need to change the budget, make an amendment.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Rick, do you have any other feedback on option 3? Is that, do you have any additional thoughts on that?
No, Pat, I didn't I didn't dig into this thing exhaustively. I wish we had, again, somehow find some funds for Grant Match. I didn't see the intubation head in this, but let's just assume that we get funding for that from the EMS grant this year. Just my reservation, and we could always use contingency money, and we can always use other funds in the either capital improvement or grant match category to fund a particular grant match. But overall, I think it looks pretty good. I'm sorry, down there in update CWPP, Rick met with one of the consulting firms today, and they proposed an amount, something in the order of $15,000, and just, you know, fiscally we're unable to achieve it using a consultant at this point. Know that if we do in fact get DDA funding or some other funding mechanism, that might be something, like you said, Todd, that we might update. And then just the cautionary tale that the final district valuation numbers that will come out mid-November, there has been a difference in income in one particular year up to $40,000. Usually it's pretty close, $5,000 to $6,000. And so there may be some fine tuning on this thing yet over the next couple of weeks. So what we discuss on the 18th, we may have those numbers, and even the December 2nd numbers may look a bit different, but I'll keep you apprised on all that.
Were we expecting the updated numbers on the 15th?
I think that's correct.
Yeah, okay. We might get to do some tweaking there, but overall, that's what it looks like, I think, for next year.
How much money do we have in cistern fund?
Give me a second. I can answer that for you. Give me just 1 minute.
Ray, while you're talking about that, so you know the board, historically, we said that if we have water in the ground in a cistern and we can't transport it with a tender, doesn't do us much good. So we talked about, and we are not statutorily required to spend that money only on cisterns. And so that might be a great source of grant match if we were to try and write for a new water tender, or even if we were able to purchase it with existing funds in the cistern fund. And Ian, I thought it was somewhere around 40,000.
It's something like that, I recall. Can't find it.
Rick, when we got 41, didn't we use some of that funding then?
I can't recall.
Do you remember what that truck cost us?
41?
Yeah.
$269,000, I think. That was a 50% grant match with AFG, and I don't remember how we funded it on the district side.
Yeah. So the answer to the water systems is 54,482.
Oh, that's good news. So
we spent 7.5 this year.
So that may be the solution to our tender conundrum.
Yeah.
All right, just another quick question. Now with the vote that's been passed, what's that do to Tabor for us?
Well, not Tabor, but Gallagher. And we functionally have that variable mill adjustment, and we're going to stay at a residential assessment rate equivalent to 7.2%. I believe the county is assessing at 6.15, and there was a prediction for it to go lower. So I think that it will not go lower based on Gallagher or D. Gallagher. But we still are projected to make about $3,000 to $4,000, on that difference between 7.2 and 6.15. So I think we're still entitled to that as I read it.
Okay.
Yeah, that was kind of my understanding in the way that the ballot initiative was written. So we can go back and pick over that if we need to. Bless you.
Bless you.
Well, that sequence, give me a second. Point of order, I'm not sure about. Rick or Ray, you may answer this. So for the budget presentation, do we need to make any motion to accept that? Or are we, do we just roll that forward?
I think statutorily it says that it is submitted to the board, which it has been, and I think you guys by consensus have said that we'll use option three. So I think you've done what you need to do.
Okay, just a second. I was doing some, Kathy sent me the outstanding vacation numbers the other day, and they're looking pretty scary. And we talked about this back in June, but it got kind of dropped off the discussion list. But I'd like to propose that we use some of the vacation liability to reduce our vacation overhead so that going into next year, everybody just takes in their maximum rollover, which is 1 year's vacation. And I calculated that to work out to be about $14,000, I think. Any comments on that?
Ian, it's Rick. Yep. So does that mean that you all are going to, quote, pay out existing vacation liability, or what's, how's that play out?
Yeah, so my plan or my idea is that we pay out the vacation liability to bring it back down to the maximum carryover for everybody, which is in line with the policy manual that says you can carry over up to 1 year's vacation. And then we start hoping to take, getting people to take vacation so we're not carrying, you know, hundreds of hours forward.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm just concerned that, you know, we have nearly an 80,000 liability sitting around. And although we have the funding for it, if it doesn't get smaller, it just gets bigger and it starts to eat into other items.
Right.
And one of the things I did actually in the budget, which I'm not sure I spoke about, was that there's an amount set aside for vacation cover, which is basically calculated at everybody's vacation at the highest overtime rate. And so we can figure out how the chief doesn't always have to get to do vacation cover for everybody somehow. So we can either pay overtime or see if we can figure out some part-time or pro temp.
So Ian, is that the line item vacation cost backfill in the budget?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay.
I worked it out for about 22.
Yeah,
so it's a kind of chunky line item, but it's one of those hidden costs that we don't always see. And I think that backfill generally falls to the chief, which is financially great for the district, but probably not so good for the chief.
So moved.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So I'll make the motion that we'll use some of the vacation liability to reduce the carry forward vacation of our staff to the maximum level moving into 2021. Do I get a second?
Second.
Ray, are you happy with that?
Yes. What is the cap?
Are you happy with it? It depends how long you've been here. The highest is 312.
212 hours?
312 hours. And that's if you're on a 4896. It varies depending on whether you're a 4896 or 40-hour employee.
Okay.
So Charlie's telling me over 10 years, it's like when you've been here over 10 years, it's 13 days a year. It's 13 shift days. Yeah.
My vote is yes, Ian.
Okay. Ray, what was your vote?
It was yes.
Okay, good. I mean, it is a funded liability, so we're not taking money out of any of the other budgets. So. Don't have that many people on the board. I have a membership request for non-voting board representation. Lindsay, do you want to present that? Yeah. I think if you come here, actually, just because it's on my phone, it's on the speaker thing, it probably is.
My name is Lindsay Sweeney. I'm a member of MedFire, and a number of the members have come up with a proposal that we wanted to share with the board. This proposal outlines the formation of a volunteer group with non-voting representation on the NFPD Board of Directors. The purpose is to facilitate communication between the board and volunteer members by designating a single point of contact who's authorized to speak for volunteer members and convey information from the board to the membership. The point of contact of title steward will be elected by members and serve for a term of 6 months. The steward will be able to be voted out by before the end of the term by a mechanism to be determined. Members also wish to define a deputy steward role that rotates monthly and is able to speak on behalf of members via a state of membership presentation at regular NFPD Board of Directors meetings. Members will hold regular meetings prior to the regular NFPD Board of Directors meetings to conduct business such as elections, amendments to this proposal, and statements made to the board on behalf of the volunteers. Meetings will be open to all members, but only full members, including volunteer officers and reserve members, will be allowed to vote and hold these elected positions. Applicants, candidates, and recruits will be encouraged to attend and participate in the discussion. Meeting minutes will be made available to all volunteer members. So our proposal is not set in stone yet. We had 8 members on a discussion that we had on Monday night and came up with this. So we have a lot more to work out, but we wanted to bring it to the board and see what everyone thought of it.
I'm in principle in favor of this. It's something that I kind of tried to suggest earlier in the year. I think it has value for the connection of the board to the membership so that we have a better understanding of what's really happening and what your feelings are about it. It's not necessarily what's really happening. The wrong way to put that. So just basically broadly in favor. I'll answer your question. We have the open board. You would be able to participate in all the board meetings and communications, including non-public executive sessions. You can't be on non-public executive sessions because that's reserved for board. So I don't think we can do that. I was reading the statute today. It's pretty clear. That would turn it into a public session. I think the mechanism you're using is valid. I think that it could work. But if you feel you need to flesh it out more, then that's also fine.
So I'm hoping over the next month we'll discuss it more. Hoping to have an election in the next month so we could come to the next meeting and
Okay. Any other board comments?
I'm not opposed to the idea. I think that what they're working on, certainly we'll have more information in the future, but I would certainly encourage a defined process in which, you know, it's very clear the volunteers need to work with their assigned volunteer officer, if they have one, or their assigned shift officer. If there are issues, they, you know, certainly follow the chain of command there. But I would like to see a clearly defined method in which concerns are brought forward, or how they're brought forward to the deputy steward. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think it's I think we just need to define, you know, what role and how issues are brought forward, and what the process is.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I'm a little confused about the steward and the deputy steward. They seem to have a similar function. So I don't understand why there is two roles with almost, it sounds somewhat the same, similar, you know, activities in communicating with the board. So yeah, I second what Patrick is saying, maybe a little bit more fleshing out, but I, in principle, like it, because I think that membership representation is a good idea. It's something that we really benefit from as a board.
Did you want to answer to that?
Sure. So our idea behind the deputy steward is that everything doesn't fall into the steward, and we also keep a group of people kind of almost grooming for that position. So we're more able to cycle people through. The deputy steward would also stand in if the steward is not able to make a meeting, and it really keeps more people involved in what's going on with the membership.
Sure. And then that's kind of why I think it should just be like one representative. Okay. Well, that makes kind of sense, I think.
If that's stated more clearly, I think that would be beneficial.
Ian, you want to hear my opinion?
Go for it.
So I too think that I support the mechanism. I think that probably should be termed something such as volunteer liaison. I don't care about the steward piece of it, but I think the non-voting board member terminology gets confusing and conflicts with some of the stuff in Section 2.6 of the Personnel Manual. And I think that from a public perspective on elected board members, it would create some confusion.
Right.
And so I think the volunteers do need and should have a collective voice. I believe the devil is in the details as regard to what issues are brought up through chain of command and what issues are brought directly to the board. So that's, I guess, the opinion I wish to share.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Good point.
Having discussions about the kinds of subjects you'd be willing to bring to it.
I think our discussion is more of the tools and mechanisms available to that, and also
I think I agree with that. And Chief, I agree with you on the chain of command we have to be very careful around that. Okay. I'd say the devil's in the detail. Ray, any thoughts?
Fundamentally, I'm okay with it. Including in non-public executive sessions, I don't think that's a good idea.
No, I already answered that. We can't do that. Statutory, that doesn't work.
Yeah. I was thinking something along them lines.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yes, I agree.
In principle, the board is fleshing out a bit.
Yep.
And just get some of the detail about what's a suitable subject to be brought for, which subject needs to go by alternative path.
I also would say that I would like to see that the members still attend board meetings.
Me too. But I keep making them 7 hours long and nobody wants to come. That's a possibility.
Hey, Ian, I couldn't hear what was being said.
So what Johnny was saying was, do we want the like shift officer on the day to have a look at what's being intended to be brought forward to make sure that it's appropriate subject and shouldn't be going through the chain of command?
Well, I think that that becomes subjective, and each shift officer, you know, then has the responsibility to figure out what's appropriate and what's not. And I guess that's what I was asking Lindsay is, and I think she's willing to do it, is, you know, this for the most part is, you know, almost a union representation, right? You know, you have the terminology there. And any union representation is very clear with what they represent members on, what topics, what issues they can represent membership on. And then it's also very clear on what has to go through the chain of command. And so
right.
I think I don't mind this at all. I think it's a fine idea. And I agree with Ray that, and everybody else that no, you can't be in the executive sessions. However, I think I would feel even better about this if the proposal identified exactly what this more or less a volunteer union would be responsible for bringing to the board and what the membership is responsible for handling through the chain of command. So we're perfectly clear and there is no room for subjectivity based on which company officer's on for the day.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, we can work on that. Any ideas or any of the board, sure we'll have something to some idea. Okay. Label that as work in progress. And the board agrees in principle. Thank you for bringing that forward. Appreciate the effort from the membership to try and make some improvements and bring things to the board's attention. And I think that's important for us.
Hey, Ian, back up. Back up a little. Was that back down? Was that thing that you put behind? Nope, the other direction. Okay. That's what I was. Yeah, that wasn't supposed to be on the budget.
No.
Okay.
Eyes have stopped looking.
We're good now.
Thank you. Thank you for picking that up. Appreciate the correction. It is 9:20. Patrick, what do you want to do about talking about forming a working group for vehicle replacement?
If nobody minds, I would like to just pop in and see Rick first and kind of brainstorm with him and get a working group of career and volunteer, and also figure out a funding mechanism for potential vehicle replacement, not only vehicle replacement, but gear, from bunker gear to hose. Everything that we're looking at right now is ultimately raise concerns are certainly valid, and I share the same. We don't have money to continue operating. We're right on that knife's edge right now, and if we don't figure out and really spend some time figuring this out, a fire department that has no trucks is not a fire department. So I think it's time we really get creative and figure things out. And obviously it's probably not going to happen this year, but we need to have a plan for the future. So Chief, if you're comfortable with sitting down and brainstorming and then getting a working group together, I'll come see you sometime this week or next week.
That sounds great.
And like I said, I think I would really like to have input not only from volunteers and career staff and really figure things out, but I think we need to also figure out, like I said, potential for alternative funding sources and do some community outreach and figure out what the community, what's important for them and what they would be comfortable with. So I think this is a long-term project.
Okay.
That's all I had.
Would we entertain the idea of lease purchase?
It's pretty common nowadays, but we still have to, you know, carve out enough money out of the annual budget to get that done. But I think that in just doing the math, looking at lease purchase on which would be a relatively inexpensive Type 1 engine at about $450,000, accounting for a 25-year life expectancy and a 15-year lease, and also adding in a cash replacement fund, would be roughly about $50,000 to $51,000 a year for 15 years. And then we continue that payment over the life of the vehicle, so we actually do have cash in that account to replace it when it meets its useful life expectancy. So a lease purchase is certainly a reasonable way to go if we don't have the cash up front. And it also doesn't suggest that we're passing on a potential for an additional tax to our current taxpayers. But these are all things we really, you said, we have to figure out which direction we can go in.
Yeah, I'm not open for a bond.
No. I think our taxpayers are already, they're doing their fair share. And I think, Ian, you brought this up to Rick at some point. I think we run, I don't know, Rick, you probably have the exact number, but how many calls are for non-residents that are drawing on our system? And can we entertain in some sort of, and I don't know if this is legal to do special district and collect two different types of taxes, but some sort of use tax. Like I said, we have to get creative and do some work.
There's that impact fee assessment model.
Mm-hmm.
I will begin having Jim track to the best that we can determine district resident, or more importantly, district property owner. So we'll try and figure out, you know, how much of our business is for residents and how much is for visitors. And I'll kind of provide some guidance to Jim on that to start tracking that so we can get some data. I don't have a strong gut feel on what that is. I'm sure there's plenty of non-resident impact. I will say one of the encouraging things, I don't know what happened with the county commissioner race, but that may give us a forum to reopen some of the discussion on payment in lieu of taxes from the feds. So I'm going to be hammering on the PILT thing again. But yeah, let's sit down and we can certainly talk about all that.
Yeah.
Well, years ago, we used to try billing for our ambulance service, and that was a disaster.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
It didn't work out. We probably put more into it than we got out of it. And then also, we got money from, I don't know if this is still even going, but Gilpin Gambling. If we could track our non-residents, or no, I guess what it amounted to is if we could track that they were in Gilpin, we managed to get some money from gambling.
So Ray, that was gaming impact funds, and they significantly changed statutorily who they would provide that money to. And it functionally came down to they were wanting to fund the counties that specifically had gaming in them and not the folks like Nederland that you pass through to get there. And so my understanding is that our opportunity, at least on gaming impact, has passed. Mineral and energy extraction impact still exists. Those are typically grant requests. Pat and I can brainstorm on a bunch of that.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good path forward anyway. I'll leave that to you and Patrick to come up with some ideas. Well, see what the options are, put it that way. Okay. Is there any other public comments? Okay. I'll make the motion that we adjourn this meeting.
It's 9:30, and I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of my night.
I can make it last longer. I've got other stuff.
Well, Patrick, go ahead and second the motion, would you?
Second.
I'm in favor.
I didn't hear that was. Sorry.
Well, I'm in favor of this, Todd.
Okay. And then Ray.
Yes.
Okay. The next public meeting is scheduled for November the 18th at 7 p.m. for budget public comment. I will see all you gentlemen then. Thank you for all your time. I appreciate it. And. Again, welcome back, Chief.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yes.
And have a good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye.